You know, one of my favorite texts in the New Testament is Galatians chapter 5. Because people ask you all the time when you're a priest, how do I know what God wants me to do? How do I know what the will of God is? How do I know I'm walking the right path? And I'll tell them, look in Galatians chapter 5, because what you'll find are two wonderful passages. One dealing with the works of the flesh, Paul calls it, and he lays those out. If, maybe I'll do a video eventually on that. But then he says, in contrast to those, you find the fruit of the Holy Spirit. In other words, what are the signs that the Holy Spirit is in you? So I'll tell people, look at this passage and tell me, are these things happening in your life? Then you're on the right path. Then you're probably walking the path of the Holy Spirit. If they're not, then you're probably not on the right path. So it's Galatians chapter 5, and beginning with verse 22, Paul says this now, listen. In contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. Who's the Holy Spirit? Back this up a little bit. Who is the Holy Spirit? Well, we say the Holy Spirit is the love that connects the Father and the Son. So the Father from all eternity knows himself. In that great act, he generates an image, the imago, the image of God. This perfect image of the Father is the Son. The Father and Son look at each other, and then Fulton Sheen put it this way, they sigh their love for each other. And that shared breath, that shared love, is the Holy Spirit. Now, salvation is all about the Father sending the Son all the way out to the very limits of God-forsakenness so that we might be gathered into the love that the Father and Son share, which we signal every time we do this, right? You say that God, the Father, so loved the world, he sent his only Son all the way down that we might be gathered into the Holy Spirit. That's when a Christian talks about the spiritual life. He's not just using the language vaguely, the way a lot of people do today. I'm spiritual. So here's the question that Paul is asking. How do you know that you're in the Holy Spirit? Well, you can't see and control the Holy Spirit. You know, it's like the wind that blows where he wills, right? But you can see the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the consequences or effects of the Spirit. That's why this text is so important. So what I want to do is just look at some of the major themes Paul talks about. So the first fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, to no one's surprise, because that's what the Holy Spirit is. So if you have the Spirit in you, it'll show up as love. Now, love is not a sentiment or feeling primarily. Love is an act of the will. Love is to want the good of the other and to do something about it. Not, as I've often said, this indirect egotism, which is I'll be nice to you that you might be nice to me. I'll wash your back, you wash mine. It's not that. Love is breaking out of this black hole of the ego. It's getting out of the gravitational pull of the ego and really living for the other. If you've got that, then you're in the Holy Spirit. If your life is characterized by that, then the Holy Spirit is breathing through you. Then Paul talks about joy and peace. It's been said, I think correctly, that the flag of the Holy Spirit is joy. Someone who's joyful has the Holy Spirit in him or her. Now, make a contrast, though. We're not talking primarily about giddiness or even psychological satisfaction or stability. Those are all good. I'm all in favor of that. But the joy we're talking about here is signaled more by that second word, peace. Right? Now, Paul would have been translating in his mind shalom, that desire that God had that we experience well-being, shalom, peace. What is it? I would say it's the connection at the very depth of your soul to the Spirit of God. What that gives you is a peace, a harmony, and a serenity which can endure any of the changes in your life. Whether you are in a good psychological space or a bad one, whether you're healthy or sick, whether you're successful or not, if you're connected to the Spirit of God, you have this sense of peace. I think it's fascinating that almost everyone who met Mother Teresa of Calcutta commented on her joy. that she was a joyful person. But yet we know, don't we, from her diaries and letters now, that she wasn't psychologically always in a good space, just the contrary. She suffered from enormous anxiety, depression, and so on. But yet, see, underneath all that, through all that, there was joy. That's what Paul means now, as a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Next, he talks about patience. I've always liked the King James Version. It has that lovely word, long-suffering. Long-suffering or patience is a mark of the Holy Spirit. Now, how come? Because the Holy Spirit is love, and love is willing the good of the other. See, if your life is based on you and your projects, your needs, your plans, what's your attitude toward people who are boring or annoying or getting in your way? It's just, it's an annoyance. It's impatience. Get out of my way. You're blocking what I want to achieve. But see, if your stance is that of love, you're not trying to get those people out of your way. In fact, you're seeing them as an occasion for love. That perhaps they were put in your place, in your way, precisely as an opportunity for you to love. Just think of, you know, when you wake up in the morning, what's your fundamental attitude? Is it now, what can I get out of this day? Or what occasions for love will present themselves to me today? The patient or long-suffering person has that attitude. I'd also say this, that you're patient in regard to your own suffering. Again, if you're egotistic, that all you want is your projects and plans, well, then your own physical suffering is just getting in the way, which is why we get impatient with it. And when will I get over this suffering? But the patient person might say, no, maybe this suffering is itself a gift given to me by God to help me grow in some spiritual way. And so I'm long-suffering even in regard to my own suffering. Now, next, Paul talks about generosity. Now, I often will focus on this one when people ask me, what does God want me to do? What path should I walk? I'll say, what path makes you most generous? What form of life makes you most generous? That's the one God wants you on. Holy Spirit is gift, right? Because the Father loves the Son loves the Father. The Spirit is the mutual gifting of Father and Son. The Spirit is the divine generosity. Most of us, though, live like that in Eliot's great poem, The Love Song of J. Alfred Prufrock, where he laments the end of his days. I've measured out my life with coffee spoons. That's the ungenerous attitude. I just take a little tiny spoon and offer you a little bit because I'm hanging on to my prerogatives and privileges and so on. No, no, if the Holy Spirit's in you, then you become gifting. You become overflowing. Generosity is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Next, Paul talks about faithfulness or fidelity. Gosh, that's important, isn't it? Most of us will make a great commitment of love at some point in life, and that's where our maturity is found, really. So it's a person becoming a priest, it's two people getting married, someone deciding that he will give himself to his country, or whatever it is. When you say, I make this great commitment of love. Good. That's of the Holy Spirit. Fidelity is faithfulness to that commitment. Just as the Spirit, see, the Father and Son can never fall out of love. One of the names for the Spirit is vinculum amoris. It's lovely. It means the chain of love. It's the chain of love that binds the Father and the Son. Well, see, when we're faithful in our commitments of love, we imitate the Holy Spirit. We have the Holy Spirit in us. That's why lack of fidelity is such a great crisis in our culture, you know, because it's not a fruit of the Holy Spirit. Finally, he talks about, I'm skipping a couple, but he talks about self-control. And as I've said 100 times, this is not Puritanism. You know, we can mock Christianity easily enough as fussy and it's antibody and it's not, it doesn't like sexuality and so it's self-control. That isn't it. Paul is a Jew. Jews aren't anti-flesh. Platonists maybe were, but Jews weren't. Paul's not against the flesh at all. But why is self-control important? Self-control means I'm going to order everything in me according to love. That's what it means. It means all my energies, all my passions, all my powers, all of them are good. but they have to be ordered to love. If not, then chaos will result. And the person who lacks self-control lacks that ordering capacity. That's why it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's like, what makes me able to direct my life toward love? That's what God wants. That's the path that you're on. You're walking a path where you're losing self-control. That ain't it. That's not the Holy Spirit. I'll close with something I heard from Father Hesburgh, the legendary former president of Notre Dame University. And he said, this is about 10 years ago, I heard him give a homily. He said, here's a prayer that always works, no matter what's going on in your life. If you're successful, you're unsuccessful. You're young, you're old. You're sick, you're healthy. No matter where you are, this prayer always works. I remember I kind of pricked up my ears, like, yeah, what is that? And he said, Veni Sancte Spiritus. Come, Holy Spirit. And I think, first of all, he's right about that. It's a prayer that works anytime. But secondly, it's the only way to get the Holy Spirit. See, again, the Spirit blows where he wills. You can't control the Holy Spirit. If I just do X, Y, and Z, I'll get the Holy Spirit. It doesn't work that way. Or if I follow this program, I'll get the Holy Spirit. It doesn't work that way. You have to ask for the Holy Spirit. Ask. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, renew the hearts of your people. Come, renew the face of the earth. And so I'd recommend, if you want the fruit of the Holy Spirit in you, Galatians 5, ask. Veni Sancte Spiritus.